This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Inshallah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi wahdahu wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala man la nabiyya ba'dahu wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. My brothers, my sisters, you and I know that with the challenges we face on the globe at the moment, life is not so easy. Many of the children, many of the teenagers, brothers, sisters, men, women, fathers, mothers, grandfathers, grandmothers, brothers, sisters, whatever it may be, going through great hardship and difficulty. But what becomes more difficult is when we address them, sometimes we are not conscious of what they are going through in their lives. So the words we use with them in order to guide them, correct them, say something to them, make matters worse. And it is for this reason that before you say something to anyone, it is your duty as a believer to weigh your words, to consider what you're about to say, to put yourself in the shoes of the person or the people you are addressing for a moment, to think where they come from, what they might be going through right now, how their childhood was, perhaps something about their parents, maybe. Perhaps what might have happened to them as they grew a little bit older. Perhaps where they live and the conditions financially of their family. Perhaps some other struggles that may be, were they reverts or not, and what they might have faced in their lives. Because they may have come a long way from where they were, but our words do not take that into consideration. And so we think that this is not good enough, not realizing they've made progress in leaps and bounds. Surely we should be thinking of that. So one of the duties of a believer is whenever you speak to anyone, make sure that you put yourself in their shoes for a moment, think for a while. The reason is, wouldn't you like to be empowered? Wouldn't you like goodness for yourself? Well, you need to love that goodness for others. At times, we know that we're living in a globe where people look at Islam with an eye of skepticism, as I always say, because of what the media says, because of what people think. And sometimes it becomes difficult for people to navigate through these challenges as they live in their day-to-day lives. And for that reason, they might not be able to show as much as they would have liked that they're actually practicing Muslims, or they're trying to be practicing Muslims. But I promise you, every one of us, deep down in the heart, we definitely have a little flicker in there of something known as Iman. Your faith, your conviction, that flicker makes you feel, I need to improve my relationship with Allah. I promise you, I've spoken to thousands of people through my years, and every time I get the same vibe. Everybody, even the one who is far away, sinning and is drowning in addictions and whatever else it may be, they will tell you, wallahi, my brother, pray for me. I would love to turn. I would love to quit. I would love to this and that. It's not only about prayer, by the way. You need to make an effort. But in order to understand the person, you need to know they would like to change. Are you going to help them? Are you going to be there for them? Are you going to say encouraging words? Are you going to acknowledge the progress they have made over time? Because I tell you another point. Every single one of us has faults, without exception. Every single one of us falters, whether it's intentional or unintentional, but we do commit sin to different degrees. Why? Perfection is for Allah. Perfection, as I always say, is for paradise. Today I received a call from someone, and okay, it might sound a little bit weird, but in actual fact, it's a common problem. Wallahi, the sister says, my beloved brother, I need to ask you a serious question. I am going through a lot of challenges with my husband. He does this and this and this and this. And she named quite a few things. You know, I was crying because I read that I'm going to be with this man in paradise. What is the point of going to paradise if that is the case? And I'm thinking to myself, My beloved sister, this is an issue. She feels that I'm stuck in this world. I've got kids. I don't know where to go, which way to navigate. But I do know that in the hereafter, no chance. I don't need this man. I don't need that stress again. I said, my beloved sister, do you know that Shaytan comes to us to confuse us, to make us begin to think about what we're going to be getting in a place that we haven't even worked towards buying the ticket to get to. We haven't even made an effort to get to Jannah, and you're worried about, I'm not going to be with that guy. Are you sure you're going to be in Jannah? Because the two of you might be bungled together somewhere else. May Allah not do that to us. Notice I didn't say Jahannam, by the way, right? But it's a fact. If you are going to work hard with each other, I said, my dear sister, let me tell you something, and it's a fact. And let me clarify it for everyone. لَهُمْ مَا يَشَاءُونَ فِيهَا. Allah Almighty says it clearly about paradise. More than once in the Quran, you will get, or they will get, the people of paradise, whatever they wish. But the verse doesn't stop there. It says, فِيهَا. In it, they will get whatever they wish. Which means, first go there, see what's on offer. It will be way beyond anything that your mind has ever thought of. فِيهَا مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَى قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ. In paradise, there is that which no eye has ever seen, no ears have ever heard. It hasn't even crossed the heart or the mind of a person. If something crossed your mind, it's not there. So you better keep your husband in mind. Allah protect us. But what I mean is, not as you know it. It's going to be something totally different. Allah says you will get what you want, which means what you don't want, do you really think you're going to get it there? But you got to go there first. Because you know, you might have something on display and next thing you see this person and you really say, oh wow. And then someone might whisper in your ear, that's your husband. Oh, and then you're like, okay, sorry, I changed my mind. My brothers, my sisters, wait until you get there. In the meantime, do not allow Shaytan to distract you from that path. So concentrate on your prayer, your connection with Allah, your kindness to the rest of the people, your service to humanity while you are serving Allah. All of that put together will help you get to paradise. When you get there, inshallah, you're never going to be let down. Not at all. And I want to explain something else to you. Moving through the challenges of today, while we know that Iman and Islam and our faith is a balance between hope and fear, which means we hope in the mercy of Allah and we really fear the displeasure of Allah. And people say, you fear Allah. Hang on. You fear the displeasure of Allah. You fear the punishment of Allah. Because I always say, there is a difference between fear born of being scared and fear born out of love. It is more appropriate to have the latter for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fear that is born out of love. When I love you, I don't want to mess this relationship at all. The fear is because of the severity or the seriousness of the love, the magnitude of this love. I would not like to do something that displeases you. Think for a moment of someone you really, really, really love. Okay? Got something in mind? Hope it's halal, inshallah. Think of someone you really, really, really love, right? Would you ever want to do something that they would be upset by? The answer is no. Why? Because, you know, I fear that. I really wouldn't like. I don't even want to go in that direction. It's a fear born out of love. So it is more appropriate when it comes to Allah Almighty that out of our love, we don't want to earn His wrath, His anger. So that's why they say, تَخْشَى عِقَابَ اللَّهِ. You are worried about the punishment of Allah, to upset Allah in one way or another, to make Him angry, for example. But remember, in this world today, what drives us, there is a lot of fear-mongering, a lot of negativity, a lot of disaster, a lot of negativity, so many challenges. We need a lot of hope in order to draw us closer to Allah. Not to say we eradicate the fear factor that I spoke about a few minutes ago, but what needs to happen for us to be able to progress and excel in a world such as what we have today, The hope needs to be there because the rest of it is hopeless. That's what it is. The rest of it is hopeless. You look to the left, you see hopelessness. You look to the right, you see hopelessness. But trust me, you turn to Allah, you see hope. I always am amazed and mesmerized by the opening of the Quran, where we start off first by what is known as the Basmala. Basmala meaning Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wow, trying, right? You can see I've been with Sheikh Muhammad Jibril the last few days. So, in the name of Allah, then he decided what we will say after that. What did you say after that? In the name of Allah, what? Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. He decided that. That's how it's going to begin. He could have said any other name. Ah, come on. Isn't that so beautiful? Listen to it. The most beneficent, the most merciful, or the most merciful twice, different types of mercy. One is all encompassing and the other is specialized for the believers. Okay? Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Al-Fatiha, Surah Al-Fatiha, the opening of the Quran. All praise is due to Allah, Lord of the worlds, Lord of every single thing in existence. All praise is due to Him. Whoever made the whole world and whatever is in it, including myself and yourselves, whoever made me, He is the Lord of the worlds. All praise is due to Him. Immediately after that, guess what He says? Guess what He says. No even guessing, you know probably, right? What does He say? Say it. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. Again, exactly the same two qualities. He still didn't come up with the punishment. He still didn't come up with that which might make you hopeless, even in the smallest way, no matter who you are and what you are going through and your challenges. Do you know what? He knows exactly what you're going through. He knows you, and He knows you personally. He knows you better than you know yourself. And He is telling you, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. Subhanallah. He's telling you, you know what? There are two types of mercy here. One, especially for those who are believers. But there is another one, even if you don't believe, there is a mercy that I bestow upon you. Allahu Akbar. What mercy is that? It's amazing. Look across the globe, you'll see Allah's mercy upon everyone. Because He's the Lord of all. So this is why we say, do not lose hope. We're living in a time, an age where, wallahi, people are distancing themselves from their maker simply because of hopelessness, whereas it's supposed to be the other way around. Because of that hopelessness, you come towards the hope. The hope is Allah. Never let anyone make you believe for a moment, when you're hopeless and helpless, that coming towards Allah is going to make you more hopeless and more helpless, because that is untrue. My brothers, my sisters, developing your relationship with your maker is the best thing you could ever do. Inch forward, continue to move, even if it is centimeter at a time, inch at a time. No problem. A day might come when Allah might give you the strength to leap forward. And in the process, do not belittle those who are still beginning the journey. Do not belittle those who might not yet be on the path completely. Don't belittle them. You don't know. We have football going on, mashallah, in Qatar at the moment, right? I'm sure the first match is about to commence in a few hours. At least I know that. A lot of hype, a lot is being said, mashallah, tabarakallah, whatever is being said is being said. But I can tell you one thing, every match that is going to be played will only be decided by the final whistle, no matter what the score was at the beginning. You could be 1-0, 2-0. Guess what? Halfway, half time, you're excited, we're winning. Guess what? When you come back, 2-1, 2-2, 3-2, you lost. What happened to the two goals at the beginning? You know what? We scored more. If a match is decided at the end, what do you think Allah's going to do to you? There's no comparison. Allah, وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى. Allah tells you, الْأَعْمَالِ بِالْخَوَاتِ. Your deeds will be decided and judged by the end of it. You're still on your journey. You can still kick that ball and score the goals. You're still alive. You can still move further. You move further and guess what? Break your own record by scoring more and more and more. If you're doing that which is compulsory, thank Allah. Start diving into that which is Not compulsory, but recommended. If you're doing that which is recommended, start going into that which is totally voluntary. MashaAllah. You know what I'm talking about? Farad, sunnah, and nafil, for those who might understand. Okay? Go into it. In the process, do not belittle the person who's still struggling to quit haram. Because I tell you something, a brother asked me, he says, yeah, this is a little bit, it's an issue that people may not understand, but in fact, let me word it a little bit more carefully. He says, I have these urges, okay? I have these urges. What do I do? I said, my brother, we all have those urges in one way or another. I tell you something, discipline is taught by Islam. If you hold back your urges for the sake of Allah, because by fulfilling them you may be displeasing the Maker, He gives you a reward just by abstinence. Even if you have to abstain until the day you die, it's okay. I know of so many people never married. They passed away in that condition. What did they do? They held back. Subhanallah. So it doesn't mean that you have to fulfill every desire that comes to your mind and heart. That's not what Islam is all about. Islam is about discipline. You have to know this. I have an urge. I'm not going to fulfill it because my Maker told me not to. No matter who you are and what it is. I could, for example, if I like a vehicle that someone else owns, this is an easy example, and I can't afford it, I just have to say, mashallah, tabarakallah, and move on. What else? If I'm lucky, for example, if it's in the case of a vehicle, the guy might give me a ride. Why are you laughing? If you fall in love with someone else's wife, astaghfirullah, you have to shut up about it, sorry to use that term, and you have to die with that. And it's never ever going to be fulfilled if you believe in Allah. Do you get what I'm saying? Now you can add and subtract. May Allah Almighty bless us and strengthen us. Because today we're living in a world that is trying to tell us, you have an urge, go and do it. No chance. I'm a believer, man. I'm a believer. I get up, I have an urge to sleep, but it's time for Fajr. I'm going to get up for Salatul Fajr and I'm going to knock my sleep out for the sake of my Maker. That's why He tells us, Raka'ata al-Fajri khayrun min ad-dunya wa ma fiha. Straight up, the 2 units of voluntary prayer before Salatul Fajr, better for you than the whole world and whatever it contains. There has to be value. There has to be religious benefit. There has to be emotional benefit. There has to be spiritual benefit. There has to be physical benefit, medical, whatever else it may be. It must be the most beneficial thing ever to get up for Salatul Fajr. Holistically, from every single aspect you can dream of. Why? Because when Allah tells you this is better than the whole world and whatever it contains, I promise you it's not going to be easy, number one. And number two, it has to be extremely beneficial. Inshallah, we get up for Salatul Fajr. And inshallah, not just get up for Salatul Fajr last minute. You know what? The sun rises at 6:13 and 6:10. No. Take it easy. Get up earlier. Read your 2 units, inshallah. Calm down. Put your head on the ground for Allah. Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, O my Maker. And you know what? You've washed up, whatever you've cleaned and so on. You're coming and praying for your Lord. I swear by Allah, your life will change. I swear by Allah, your life will change. Why? Because you got up early morning. Subhanallah. You got up early morning. Allah wants that from you. And what did you do? You prayed. It's not easy. It's tough. It's very tough. Sometimes you have your mom, you know, shout at you and then you start getting irritated and by the time, and then you say, no, I'm not going to do this to my kids, you know, let them sleep. And then when you have your children, you do exactly the same thing because now by now you've understood the value of it. I promise you, I've had people come back when I've spoken about tahajjud. Tahajjud is one up. One up meaning get up a little bit earlier than the fajr itself. And offer voluntary prayer. Didn't I say moments ago that once you've got the obligation done, think about the others, right? I promise you, my brothers, my sisters, if you get up for tahajjud, and I said that before, not just your life will change, you will have so much of positivity in your life. I've had so many people come back and tell me, you know what? You were right. You know what? You were right. I used to say before, get up once a month for tahajjud and then see how it feels. Automatically you'll start getting up once a week, once every few days, and suddenly every day. Because did you know the body is a miracle? It's a total miracle. Everything about you is miraculous. Your existence is a total miracle. When I was walking up here, I was thinking about how I'd like to meet every single person here. And then how impossible it is because we are human beings on earth. But aren't we so sophisticated? We have feelings, we have emotions, we have eyes, we see, we want to talk, we can't talk because of whatever restrictions there may be. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to meet these guys in Jannah. Wallahi, I'm going to meet these guys in Jannah. I will be able to sit and talk as much as I would like because there's things I'd like to perhaps say. I'd like to give everyone a chance. And if they would like to meet me, I'd like to meet them. Subhanallah, in Jannah. But people don't believe in the hereafter. Sometimes those who are not believers don't believe. They say, no, it's the end. And I say, I am too sophisticated a human being to believe that I just come to an end. I have emotions, I have feelings, I have people close to me, I have people I want to talk to, I haven't even been able to do that. How many of us have lost loved ones when we have not yet told them that we love them? How many of us have lost loved ones when we feel we had a little bit of an altercation with them and we haven't yet sorted the mess? And then we come and say, I'm so sorry, I'm too late. No, it's not. Inshallah, in the hereafter, you'll see them and make dua for them. By the will of Allah, you'll be together in Jannah. Al-mar'u ma'a man ahabba. The Prophet ﷺ tells you clearly, you love someone, you be with them. You love someone, you will be with them. May Allah Almighty grant that to us. So I believe there will come a day when we will sit, we'll have the time. I'm too sophisticated and so are you. Imagine you're looking at me now, I'm looking at you with these eyes. Do you really think that's the end of it? I'm leaving Perth and it's over. No. It might be over for dunya purposes, for this worldly life. We may or may not see or meet or cross paths or be able to speak or not speak. But in the hereafter, I promise you, I firmly believe that when I die, it will never be just the end all. No chance. No chance. I refuse that. So when Allah Almighty gives you an opportunity to build the hereafter, my brothers, my sisters, one of the ways of building the hereafter is to help people build themselves in this world. For as long as you're helping others, Allah will help you. When you care of others, Allah cares for you. That's how Allah's kept it. And the beauty of the whole thing is Allah didn't need you and me to serve people and to give them. He could have given them on His own. Without any interference, He could have had things that were of value grow wherever He wanted and come out, and that's it. People wouldn't need each other. But His system is unique because He wants us to earn reward through caring for people. And that's the whole reason why you have parents. Imagine, if you look at the creatures of Allah, there are so many different ways of reproduction. For humankind, Allah kept it the way it is, such that a little baby is totally dependent on those around him or her when it's born. Subhanallah. If you just abandon the baby, it will go, right? And that's one of the reasons why Allah's kept a certain type of mercy in the hearts of humankind towards little babies. Have you thought of it? Where did it come from? You seen little babies? What do they say? I've said it in the past. They say, cute. Sometimes there's nothing cute about the baby. But what is cute is the petiteness, the fact that it's a little small thing, you know, small, tiny, mashallah. And automatically, when the child cries, you feel like you shouldn't be crying, you know. I remember telling my wife when the kids were crying, when they were little babies, leave them, they'll be able to read the Quran with a good voice, mashallah. Mashallah. It's good. It's honestly. And Masha, one of my daughters in particular who used to cry so much, oh, she has such a beautiful voice. I feel like telling the others, become small again and cry. MashaAllah. But to be honest, there's a bonus there as well. It doesn't mean you need to silence them immediately. Go easy. I remember on the flight once, there was a Muslim lady who had a baby and the baby didn't, you know, hush at all. Screaming all the way and she was sweating, standing and so on. And guess what I did? I said, sister, and I came to her. I said, sister, do you mind me taking the baby? And she's like, oh, wow, what a big shock, you know. You won't believe it, took the baby, total silence, completely gone. And I said, my sister, because you're panicking, the baby feels the fact that you're panicking. And she says, how do you know? I said, I have 10 of them, mashallah. Alhamdulillah. Expert, huh? MashaAllah. Allah grant us ease. Allah grant us ease. It's a fact. And then I told her, look, when we're taking off and landing, if you can feed the baby something, it will help the ears. And she said, oh, I didn't know. SubhanAllah. Anyway, now all of you know, don't you? So when you care, when you reach out, when you are considerate, Allah will grant you. I was making mention of how important it is for humankind to be merciful towards little ones. It's a natural thing. That's Allah's system. Allah created it that way. Had He wanted, it did not need to be that way. But it's part of the plan of Allah. It's a long topic, but let me get back to something else I was saying. My beloved brothers, my sisters, look at how Allah has made us. We are a miracle. Your eyes, the pixels, the clarity, your ears, your fingerprints. That's another point. I always say, the fact that every human being from the beginning, from Adam, right up to the last person who's going to come, has a different fingerprint, proves that you're going to have a day of judgment and accounting. The fact that you have a unique DNA, unique identity, that is only you from the beginning of creation to the end of creation, proves that you're going to be standing in front of a maker with an identity that is not deniable, and it is solely you. That's it. Why would Allah do that? Why would He make every one of us different? Because He's going to hold us accountable. Imagine if someone had to say, Muhammad, come here, and 20 guys start coming. I mean, you're going to say, right, why did you do this? No, you confuse me with him. We look the same, you know? Nah, DNA, it's you. Your fingerprint, it was you from the beginning to the end. They're already using that here, insan. Doesn't it show you there's going to be accountability? I told an atheist this and he started laughing at me. I said, we'll see who laughs last, mashallah. Allah grant us ease, goodness, subhanallah. So what was the point of having, coincidentally, by the way, the whole world has a different thumbprint. Mashallah, such a big coincidence. La ilaha illallah. May Allah grant us ease. So my brothers, my sisters, do you know what? I said at the beginning, let's be considerate of one another. We push each other closer to Allah. And at the same time, we push ourselves closer to Allah in a beautiful way. In a way that inshallah we end up in paradise. And we don't need to worry about what we're going to have there. We just know we're going to have goodness. Whatever you want will be there. Whatever you need will be there. Whatever you think of will be yours in the most beautiful way. People say, but you know, I don't want this. Someone asked me, many people ask. Actually, the number has increased, you know. Many people ask, will my cat be with me in paradise? Before, I used to laugh at the question way back. Now I don't. Guess why? I have a cat too. I tell you, what's more relevant than worrying about your cat being in paradise is whether you're going to be there. That's the reality. So why don't you work on yourself getting there? And when you get there, there might be something far beyond your cat. SubhanAllah. And if you really do think of that cat at the time, it may be there. I'll give you another quick example. Quick example. When you were in the womb of your mother, do you remember anything? The answer is no. If you do, I think you're abnormal. Anyone here? Anyone here? No one. Sorry, did you put your hand up? Okay. No. I tell you what, there must have been so many things you loved there, you liked there. If I offer you even one of them, you'll puke. Do you agree? But you were living, you were alive in there, you enjoyed things. There was just a membrane of your mother's womb between you and a totally different world, but you were existing. And to you, that was everything that was ever there, right? And you're in there, and then suddenly it's becoming tighter because you're growing. And then you're like, oh God, what's going to happen now? You know, you don't know. It's the end of all. I hope I met the other guy who told me there's nothing coming. He told me, there's nothing coming. Okay, let's see who's going to laugh last. Unfortunately, we cried when we came out. But the reality is, thereafter, when just about you may have thought that everything's coming to an end, boom, you crossed a little membrane into something, whoa, It was so unique, you began to cry, pricked by shaitan, as the hadith says, right? You began to cry. You came out into this world. Is there any comparison? Would you have dreamt in the wildest of your dreams that we're about to see something, and you're actually now looking at your mother, but you were in your mother? Subhanallah. Subhanallah. The connection there. Can I tell you, there is a similar example at the end of your life between us and the Akhirah. A little membrane. Wallahi, you cross it. As you cross it, it's going to be, whoa. Whatever you've had here is irrelevant completely. Besides what Allah wills. Besides what Allah wills. Allah says, you take with you your deeds. Everything else you leave behind. Two deeds. And when you get there, you're going to see something mind-boggling. Mind-boggling. If we were to offer you anything from the dunya, you would not even, like I said earlier, you puke. But you would not even want it. Because why? Offering me from the dunya as compared to what is on offer here. That's why we always say, do not let shaitan distract you. Do not let shaitan distract you to actually lose the fact that you need to work towards getting there rather than focusing on, what am I going to get there? MashaAllah. You know, Perth is a beautiful place. And I must tell you, as we drove through this afternoon, noticing the water, the oceans, the buildings, the green grass, the beautiful roads and everything else, that which was, you know, made by man and that which is God-given automatically from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation, everything is so beautiful. Everything is amazing. Thank Allah for this. Because there are others and a lot of people across the globe who don't have what you have. With that, there will be struggles. It doesn't mean because I'm living in Australia, everything's so easy. People think, where are you living? Australia. Oh, you guys must be living in paradise. What paradise? We're still waiting to go to Jannah, by the way. My husband's still around. Allahu Akbar. Sorry, that's a joke, by the way. You know, some of the brothers looking at me like, did you just say that, really? You know, may Allah grant you ease. So let's hope, my brothers and sisters, that whatever I've said this evening can actually move us to praying, fulfilling our fajr. Because if fajr comes in place, the other four are much easier, inshallah. And inshallah, if we can do better in our relationship with Allah, you know where you stand. You know what you need to do. You know the few things. And slowly but surely, try and get there. Because life is short. When I meet Allah, I want to meet Him on my best day. Allahumma ij'al ay khayra ayyamina awakhiraha. وَخَيْرَ أَعْمَالِنَا خَوَاتِمَهَا. Hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his dua. Oh Allah, make the best of my days, the last ones. The best of my deeds, the last ones. In a nutshell, let me improve myself to the degree that the day you take me away, I'll be on the best condition I ever was. MashaAllah, right? So if you start getting closer and closer and closer, and one day you go, Allah knows that, you know what, this person was coming closer to me. Allah, two things. Allah looks for an excuse to forgive you, number one. Number two is Allah judges you. Unlike mankind, you do something wrong, man will not forget it. You committed a sin 15 years ago, it was in the news. Astaghfirullah, I don't mean news as in the newspapers, but everyone knew about it. You know what? When you are 60, they're going to say, oh, there's the uncle. You remember in 1948, he did this. I promise you, that's how man is. They will remember you for one thing you did that was wrong. Allah says, we don't judge you by your sin. We judge you by your repentance. We judge you by your repentance. So remember this. People might think you're still whatever. You're not. You are who you are today. Past, P-A-S-T. That's where it is. It's the past. It's gone. May Allah Almighty bless every one of us and grant us ease. I really feel somebody's put some glue down here, and so I can't leave this podium, but let's try. Aqulu qawli hadha, wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.